word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all Scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen, amen. Okay. So, it's been a few weeks in the making, but we started a series called Children Are Free to Go to Children's Church, meet up with their Sunday school teachers. It's been a while since we've got to this, but we had started a series on praying with power, declaring and decreeing, and we took a break for a few weeks to do some other things. Today we're going to complete this series by talking about decreeing, what that's all about. If you missed any of it, especially the first three, and my favorite is the third one. It's called about, it's the position. You need to listen to it on our face, on our page. It has to do with our intimate relationship with God, how we are truly sons and daughters and what that really means. Because if we don't know our position, we won't know how to be. So, but today I want to talk about decreeing. Psalm 2:7 says this, I will declare the decree. The Lord said to me, you and my son, today I have begotten you. Now, what is a decree? Declaring is something we speak, and we'll touch on a little bit more as we go along, but there's a difference between declaring and decreeing, and I didn't know this for the longest time. And the difference is, when we declare, there's a measure of faith in declaring. Basically, we're putting our foot forward and taking a chance in faith. Now, it's not a shot in the dark. It's not a thing we just spit at the wind and hope it doesn't hit us in the face thing. But we do it in faith. So declaring is about us taking steps of faith and verbally stating what we feel God is doing, wants to do, what his heart is. Decreeing is different in that its origin is not us taking steps of faith, but we are speaking what's already been declared by God himself. Think of the example in some of the old medieval times movies we used to watch, when a messenger would come up, roll down a scroll, and he goes, hereby, king whatever decrees. And basically what the messenger is doing is speaking what's been already spoken by the one in charge, by the king. What's already been stamped, what's already been declared, what's already been set forth as law has, by the king, by the power that be, he is the messenger of it. So decreeing, to decree, it's an issue, an edict enforced by the highest and most absolute authority. It's an official order with the power of legislation issued by a rule or person authority. In other words, it's a decree, you speak it, but there's consequences to it. When it comes to decreeing, a key element to it is if obedience to the decree, just like Maureen was speaking, obedience to what God has declared, what the authority figure has declared, will reap reward, will reap positive. Not following the decree will reap judgment. Now, when it comes to God, judgment is not falling on us, so we're not being judged. But our judgment, we in a way judge ourselves by not being obedient to the things of God, because if we get out of step away from what he has established, the parameters he established, he says, I can't help you. My covering can't be on you. See, the things, the principles that God establishes, the things in his word that he lays out become borders. But they're not borders to keep us in, they're borders to protect us. We obey because as long as we are in obedience, we are under his sovereign hand of protection. Disobedience God says, you're going apart from me. I can't keep my hand over you. The shadow of my wing can't cover you if you run out of it, the way the book of Psalms describes it. You know, Psalms talks about a strong tower. He is a strong tower. Well, if we run out of the strong tower, we lose the protection of that strong tower and it's all its defenses. So obedience lines us up with this, that we stay within this decree and his hand will be on it. To decree is to speak forth God's authoritative command and instructions according to God-fixed rules and standards. Remember, he establishes this decree, my job as his messenger, as his ambassador. Think of an ambassador in another country. Ambassador has the authority of the leadership of the country that he's from, but his authority comes from the one who gave him that authority and that position. Okay? He can only speak and stand on, whether he personally agrees with it or not, the standards set by those that are in authority of country. Because there are a lot of things about Scripture sometimes that don't make sense to the natural mind. And you go, but God, how am I going to do this? Think about tithing for a second as the clearest example. Lord, if I tithe my 10%, how am I going to pay my bills? It doesn't make sense on paper. Yet, when we do it God's way, it supernaturally, naturally makes sense. And it works. Don't know how, but God does it. But it's those kind of things that we stand by his standard. And it's as though it already is. It's been established. We speak it as it already is. This is to establish the word of God as its legal authority on earth. And we decree in the authority God gave us. Remember, going back to what I mentioned about position. As sons and daughters of the king, we're in the family business. Jesus said, I only see and do and say what I see, do, and hear my Father establish in heaven. Everything Jesus decreed was based on the authority that's been established in heaven. So now the authority that we have here on earth, that we were given in his spirit, we have because we're under his authority. Remember, to have authority, you have to be under authority. So we decree in authority because we're under his authority. Psalm 148:6 says, he also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass. So even God himself, after the ark, after the flood, he said, I'm not going to flood the earth again. And he established that. That's his decree. Proverbs 8:15 says, by me, kings reign and rulers decree. Even the kings, the things they decree, the rulers decree, are under the sovereignty of God. Now, we can decree when we know God's word and speak in line with his word. And we know his heart and speak in line with his heart. Know his thoughts, speak in line with his thoughts. How do we do that? We have an intimate relationship with him. We have an intimate relationship with God, our Father. As his son, I can sit on a, quote, spiritual couch with my heavenly dad, and we can chat. We can talk. And he tells me things. This week, I had something very powerful happen to me that's never happened to me in that way before. And what I'm realizing as I'm talking about decreeing and preparing, it's out of declaring and decreeing is as close to the prophetic as there can be. Because decreeing, again, is something established by God that we speak. So you are, in a way, prophetically speaking what God already established. I was speaking with one of my coworkers this week who I know her dad has taken a severe turn, been going through medical problems, severe turn. He was in ICU and has been for a week and a half. And I was talking to her. Her hope was going. And as I'm talking to her, I heard the voice of God say, tell her, today he's going to take a turn for the better. And I'm going, Lord, I've never put my neck out like this. This is major. I mean, yeah, I can say it. God wants to heal your broken bone and pray over it, and if it doesn't heal, nothing, you know, I mean, I look like a fool. I swallow my pride. That's it. But to say something like that to somebody who's hurting is really putting your neck out there. And it's scary. And I'm talking to her, and God is speaking to me this, and I can hear it as a decree, like, tell her. He said it like three times, tell her. He's going to take a turn for the worse, I mean, for the better today. So I said to her, you know, hearing God say that he's going to take a turn for the better today. She's like, well, that's your voice. My voice is telling me he's getting worse. He's getting worse. I'm like, okay, just let it be. So I left there, and now I'm going, God, I stuck my neck out for you. I decreed your word, what you told me to say, what you've established. Please don't hurt this witness. And anything I can think of to pray to God, saying, God, don't make me look bad. Don't you look bad. I don't want to make you look bad. I don't, let it be perfect. Let it go at that point. 2 days later, she goes, just heard that they're thinking of moving him to rehab. I'm going, okay. I didn't make anything of it. I said, good, awesome. I knew he was taking a turn for the better. But she walked away, nothing. But then Friday, she came up to me after those clients had left and said, you know, I don't know what you're doing. Keep praying what you're praying. He's going to rehab today. The day you called it, he did it. I'm like, yeah. So when she walked out, I'm going, yes, yes, thank you, Lord. I closed my door. I'm going, yeah, without screaming so everyone doesn't hear me. But I was just giving God glory. But this is what we do when we decree. We take a step of faith. But our faith rests in the fact that it's already been established by God. And what God does is for our benefit. It's for us. Those parameters he lays, those things he does for us. So when we decree, we speak his word, which is already established in heaven. We don't add to it. And we don't take away from it. I literally heard he's taking a turn for the better today. And that's all I said. That's it. We enforce his word through verbal agreement. So we agree with it. Okay, Lord, I'm agreeing with you because I'm speaking it, that you've established this. When we decree, heaven is also loosed in the lives, in our lives, and or in the earth at large. I mean, when we speak, remember, life and death are at the tongue, his word says. So when we speak his word, we are either speaking life into something or death into something. Hope or hopelessness. And God wants to give us hope, right? He's the hope of our salvation. That's his word. So we want to speak life and agree. We're issuing this decree, legislating with an authority given to us by God himself that's been established. And we, when we decree, we are strengthened in mind, emotions, and will, which is our soul, the three components of our soul. Why is that? Because when it happens, it lines us up with God. When we decree the right way, his word, when we do things his way, we are lined up with him. And when it happens, because we have his authority to back us up, then guess what? Whose faith is encouraged? Whose faith is encouraged? Ours. Yes, the faith of those that we speak it to are encouraged, but our faith is encouraged. My faith went up a few notches this week because of this. This was huge. So our faith is encouraged by doing these things. Because God wants to bless those and touch us. This is who God is. We cease, think about this, when we decree what's been established, we cease to conform to circumstances. We realize our circumstances don't bind us. You know what binds us? Right here. Our thoughts. They're the ones that limit us. When we start thinking, I can't, really? Why? No, this can't happen. We can't do it. That's what binds us. That's what keeps us trapped. But when we stay within the lines that God has drawn, we find comfort. We find peace. We find solace. We find hope. We find a backing because He's in it. We're also transformed with hope to the authority of God's word, will, and plan. We have peace. We have focus on the internal purpose. Because why did He give me that? Because He wants to be a witness. He wants to reveal Himself to my coworker. Yes, He wants to build my faith to take me to the next level, but He also wants to build hope and faith in them that He's alive, that it's Him. Remember, declaring the emphasis on believing, faith in, and trusting Him. But when we decree, the emphasis is on knowing clearly what the standards that God has already done. See, in the Old Testament and in Hebrew, the word decree is to cut or cut off. This is the definition of the word in the Old Testament. To divide, to separate, to decide, to cut off contention and uncertainty by determination or decree. To sentence, to appoint, to prescribe, to establish an edict enforced by the highest and most absolute ruler. In other words, He's cutting off the nonsense and getting right to business. He's cutting off what doesn't belong and gets right to the point. And Scripture talks about how He wants to clean off the dross. The dross is the impurities. Like when metal is being refined and goes through the fire, what burns is the dross, the impurities, so that what comes out is the pure metal. This is when we decree we're cutting off the dross, the nonsense, and we're staying to the purity of God's heart. But I want to look at some of these definitions for a decree. To cut off. Cuts off generational curses, the attacks of the devil, and the works of the flesh. How does that work? Well, I can decree that in Scripture, when I stand on His word that says, when I'm obedient to Him, my family line is going to be blessed to the third, fourth, and fifth generation. Thank you, 1,000, even more. Even more, a few more. Thank you. I can declare that in Jesus' name, I cut off all generational curses that have followed our family, whether it's cancer, addictions, things like that. Shut that door, even going back a few generations, which some of us have done that in this church, and say, no, from this point on, there's a new door that's been opened that God has opened for the future generations. It cuts off the old. It divides. To divide in Scripture, to divide is to expose truth from the lie. The wheat from the tares, you separate to divide. The wheat from the tares, you divide what's pure from the imperfection thing. When we decree, this Bobby Jean Merrick, who's a biblical scholar, says, when you decree, the sword of the Spirit separates your thoughts from the lies of the enemy. Let me say that again. When we decree, the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, separates the lie from the enemy. Have you ever been wishy-washy in the way you think about something, or you're going through a dilemma and you're not sure what to do? You know how you separate that and you decree and divide it, let it divide? You go into God's word. God, what do you say about this? And when you read His truth and stand on His truth, all of a sudden, even if you're not sure on the fleshly level how this is going to work, you stand in it and it separates the wheat from the tare. Now, there are some things in Scripture that aren't so clearly outlined, specific things that might be going on in life. So you know what we can do? We can go to God in prayer. We have access to our Heavenly Father, right? Okay, Dad, what do you think about this? Speak to my heart about this. I want your thoughts. Help me to get my thoughts out of the way. Because see, the enemy speaks to us and tries to confuse us with lies. And as we've shared before, sometimes the voice you hear in your head is your voice. Sometimes it's the enemy's voice, and the enemy's voice sounds like your voice. But you know he's speaking lies. And then it's the voice of God, which also sounds like your voice sometimes. Some of us audibly hear God speak. Some of us, it's more like, that's what tends to happen to me. I just know it's God because I hear it, but it's my voice. So by spending time in intimate relationship with Him, we can divide the nonsense from the purity of God. To decide, 2 Corinthians 4:13, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have spoken. We also believe and therefore have spoken. We also believed and therefore speak. So before I can decree, I must decide and then agree with it and then speak it. So I have to agree with it. When I had that situation this week, I have to, before I could speak it, I had to agree and say, okay, Lord, I know this is your voice. I am scared to do this because I don't want to mess up here because this is a person's life and emotions at stake. But I have to get my emotions out of it and say, okay, Lord, I'll speak what you have spoken. So I have to decide before I verbalize it. The belief must be in the heart of the decree before, heart of the decree, and is to be in the authority that comes with that authority. So what does decree do? Decreeing does. I'm using real bad English, sorry. What does decreeing do? Number one, it stops uncertainty like we've been talking about. When I decree, I stop uncertainty. James 1, 6 through 8 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded, unstable in his ways. When we speak, our words are certain. Remember, life and death are with the tongue. So when I decree, I'm going to speak what I believe. So I'm saying, okay, emotionally I'm a little wishy-washy, but in my spirit, I'm lining my spirit up to you, Lord God, and I am going to beat my emotions. Remember, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. The way you think is your mind, your will is what drives you, what motivates you, and your emotions is what you feel. When we're right, all three are working together. When we're off, one or more of those three are not working together. They're not in line. So, and the one that tends to not be in line most of the time is our emotions. So, Lord, I'm going to take what I feel and I'm going to beat it to line up with the mind of Christ that is in me. And I'm going to let the will of Christ supersede my will. And I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm going to be bold in it. Your words will be certain, and you know there will be change. You know it's God. It's being established by God. Therefore, God's going to be in it. God's never going to give us something, reveal something for us to decree, and then go, ha ha, gotcha, fooled you. I just wanted to play a game with you. He's never going to do that. He's going to give us something to move forward. And I know many of us in this room hear the voice of God. Remember in the prophetic, how God speaks to us. You can feel it, feel something physically in your body. You can get an impression in your heart. You can think it. You can hear someone hear it, his voice. You can dream it. You can even see it. A word might pop up. You can have a vision. You can dream it. All these things are ways God speaks to us. And God reveals himself through these things. And he reveals them so that we can bring heaven to earth, the heart of heaven to earth. Everything Jesus did was very deliberate. Every word he spoke was very deliberate. Not that he didn't have downtime with his disciples that wasn't written in his word. But what he did was deliberate for the kingdom of God. And that's what we're supposed to do because he gave us that same spirit that's in him, in us right now. Some of us have been prophetic since we were kids and didn't realize it because we didn't know that's what was happening. You ever walk by a store? I mean, I used to walk by Spencer's all the time in the mall and just feel such wickedness in there. I want to, my skin is crawling. I didn't know that was a prophetic thing, that was discerning of spirits, one of the gifts of the Spirit. I didn't know that. But so some of us have heard the voice of God and have heard God speak to them, but they thought that it was your own voice. Well, test it out. Ask the Holy Spirit when that happens. So proud of some of you guys last week who took steps of faith to move in the prophetic in a deeper way than you ever have. But that's, again, like my wife mentioned earlier, this is the training ground. This is the equipping place. It's okay to make a mistake here because you're surrounded by love and we're learning together. There's no science to this. And though God is perfect, his word is perfect, we are the filter. And we need to learn to filter his word and his prophetic clearly. And it's a process that we're going through. Second thing is decree is a determination. The definition for determination is the act or process of determining or being determined. A decision or a result thus arrived. Firmness of purpose, resolution. Think about this. Matthew 6:10 says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the Lord's Prayer, right? Part of the Lord's Prayer. So, isn't that our heart? Didn't Jesus bring the kingdom of heaven to earth by revealing the heart of the Father, the will of the Father, and doing the things he did? Guess what? This week I had an opportunity to do that. I brought heaven to earth. Because the Father's will was revealed. Probably 90% of us in this room can say that about something this week, whether you realized it or not. And I just feel like I want to take 1 second right now and I just want to release something into the atmosphere. Would you just put yourself in the receiving position, which is just open up your hands, your heart, close your eyes. Father, I just, in the name of Jesus, I just release your presence here and your spirit. And to bring clarity, God. We're asking for clarity right now, the blessing of clarity, that those who've been hearing will hear even clearer, that those who know will know even clearer, those who see, their eyes would be tuned even better, those who feel will know that's you, those who have dreams and visions, God, they will begin to understand where that's coming from and what that's all about. All these things, God, we just receive right now in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. We bless it, what you're doing in each one, and we're asking for more. What you've already done, add to it in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 26:42. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, "Oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Jesus decreed right there. This is what's been established. See, remember we talked about it brings determination. Of spirit, your will, the part of your soul. That when you know God said it, you got to do it. Think about at work. Your boss asks you to do something. You don't want to do it, but you know that's your job, and you got to do it. So you just buck it up, suck it up, and do it. That's it. That's what you have to do. Whether you feel like doing it or not, because that's your job. You get your will to line up with your thought that says, I need this job. If I don't do it, I'm going to get fired. So I'm going to do it. And then my emotions, even though I don't want to do it, are going to say, I don't want to face my family. Tell them I just got fired because I just decided I didn't feel like doing something. You line up your mind, your will, your emotions, and you do it. It creates that determination. Third thing, a decree sentences. A verdict, a sentence is a verdict decided upon, then decreed by a judge or jury, and then sentence is given. It's a form of judgment in a way. And God, Luke 18:7, God shall not avenge his own elect who cry out at night to him. that he bears long with them. Exodus 15:26, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, and I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Remember, God told the Israelites, this is what I'm decreeing to you, speaking to you. You do things my way, you're going to be fine. You put blood on your doorposts, as I declared, you'll be fine. None of your children will get hurt. You stay in your homes, you'll be fine. You do it my way, you will be fine. And we need to stand on that decree that he did, and God and Moses followed through. He told them, do it. Exodus 18:29, if you do this thing, and God so commands, you will be able to endure, and all the people will also go to their place in peace. Everything comes together when we decree and stand on it. Decree appoints. It gives purpose, direction, focus, and meaning. It gives a position. I'm going to go a little quicker right now. But 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation. That's his decree to us. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. A lot of times, even people when they first come here, they don't realize they're priests. They're called a royal part of the royal priesthood. You are a priest. You're a minister. You don't need to wear suits or anything up here. You are a priest of the Word of God in the kingdom of God. Why? Because you carry the presence of God. Why? Because you have access to the heart of God, the throne room of God, when you do things His way. Why? Because we're sons and daughters of God in His family business. We are priests. We are ministers. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Lord Jesus Christ. He decreed that. Every good gift and every perfect gift from above and comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. See, this is James 1:17. What does that mean? It means we are appointed to receive His blessed gifts. God decreed that in His Word through Paul's writing. We declare and decree those blessings. We give God praise and thanks for those blessings. We act like we have them because we believe we do. Why? Because we do. They've been made available to us. Ephesians 1:3, every spiritual blessing under heaven, in heavenly places, is for us in Christ Jesus. They are for us. Why? For the working of the kingdom. Just like the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Working of the kingdom. 5, a decree prescribes. To prescribe is to lay down in writing or otherwise as a rule or course of action to be followed, to appoint, ordain, or enjoin. To designate an order of use. To lay down. Lay down rules. Think about when you go get your prescription from the doctor. Tells you exactly how it's prescribed. It's prescribed for this, and this is how you're supposed to take it. When God decrees something, He says, this is what it's for, and this is how you're supposed to do it. When we are obedient in decreeing it, we're saying, this is what God wants to do, and this is how it's going to happen to one degree or another. When a decree is decreed, the rule is laid down and even begins to guide the situation. This is why I said decreeing is very close to prophetic word. Because when it's decreed, it begins to direct the path of whatever it is, the direction we're going in. When I spoke what I did to my coworker, though she doubted, a seed of hope was planted to begin to take her into that direction. And then I just had to pray the Lord bring fruit to that seed. So it begins to direct. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's a decree from God. That's His promise. We know it's true. Every time I honestly search for Him, seek Him passionately, I will find Him. He will show up. He's not playing hide and seek with me. Okay? The problem is, I've been I haven't been searching, or I've been searching in the wrong places when he's been in the room right next door. And I've been totally oblivious to the doorway that's opened into that room. But when I search him and seek him, all of a sudden I notice that door. Kind of like when we lose our glasses, yet they're sitting on our heads. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's his decree, have peace. You'll find your peace in me. And the last thing, decree, it establishes. What we decree in faith, that is in faith, authority, and the word of God, will be upheld by God and is the deciding and determining factor in the situation. Why? Because it's not coming from me. The pressure is not on me. The pressure is on him. I am just a messenger. But I am an obedient messenger. See, every day, in one way or another, I pick up Martha Ellen, and I just start decreeing over her, you are a child of God. You are brave. You are strong. You're a daughter of the King. You're a princess in heaven. You are loved. You are called. You are anointed, which is what God has declared over every single one of us. I'm just speaking his word. He's already established those parameters. That's who we are in Christ. And I just start decreeing over her now. Because that's truth. That's releasing something in the atmosphere. That's setting a course to something. 2 Chronicles 20:20, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and he will establish you. And you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you will prosper. He's establishing that over us. You will have these things for you. He told them, you go, you stay true to me, I'll lead you into the promised land. It's a land of milk and honey. You will be fruitful. And they did. They went from slavery to riches as they conquered and did things his way. And here it is, basically. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing. And the key word here is confident. Confident. Why? Well, confident of this one thing, that he who's begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. How does that work for me? How can I decree that? Well, when God calls me to do something, and most of the time that he calls us or leads us or we start doing something for him, it starts off great, right? Starts off with, we're doing good, and then what are we going to do? We're going to hit that roadblock. And you go, am I really supposed to be doing this? Is this really the right thing? This is now where the enemy starts playing mind games with us. Are you really called to do this? Can you really do this? Look at you. You're stuck. You blew it. You messed up. You've been sober for so many years, and look how you just screwed up now. You should be filled with shame and guilt for doing those things. You're a lousy parent because your kids aren't speaking to you right now. You're supposed to be a Christian. I tried raising them right, but now they hate my guts. And look at them, they're falling away. Well, how do I decree that? I stay confident. I go back to the beginning. God, you didn't put me in this position. You didn't give me these kids. You didn't help me succeed in my sobriety or whatever it might be, this task before me, this endeavor I'm in. You didn't start me on it to fail. You gave it to me because you knew I can handle it. You knew that I was the one that you chose to finish this task. There was nobody else in this whole world on your heart but me to do this? We as parents, God gave you your son and your daughter because you were the right ones for them. No matter what it looks like, no matter what might happen between here and there and so on, you were what they needed. And you're going to feel like a failure, but you go back to this, okay, Lord, and yes, I made mistakes. Yes, I screwed up, made poor decisions, but I go back to you and I receive your grace that forgives me of all those things. And I can start over, and you can take what the enemy meant for evil and work it out for your good. All things work for the good, his good, for those who are in Christ Jesus and are called according to his purpose. That's his word. So I can go back to this and be confident that I'm the right man and right woman for this job, for this thing, and that you are the one that I can lean on who'll help me finish this thing out to the very end, whatever it might look like in between. So I can decree that in my life right now, right here today, that I'm not a failure, that it wasn't a mistake. Shared this before, but for those who haven't heard this, been at this church since 1996, believe it, 22 years. As its pastor since 2001. Three times during that time, I sat there going, God, I don't know if I can do this. Nothing's happening. Maybe I'm not the right person. Maybe I just need to leave and let somebody else come in and take over. And three times, even with people asking me, people coming up to me within the church saying, you really want to do this? Nothing's happening. And the Lord said, don't listen to them. Three times, I was willing to walk away. Remember why you're here. And I had to stand on that you, God, you got me here for a reason. Therefore, I accept it. I'm established here. You have established me in this place, and I'll stand on here. I have no idea what's going on, but I'm going to stand on it in Jesus' name. Because a decree is an edict enforced by the highest and most absolute authority. We decree in the authority given to us by God, through his word and power, his understanding that he rules over all principalities and demonic forces. Remember that. He rules over them. Therefore, they have no choice but to be submissively obedient to what he has decreed, what he has established, that in his will and his plan. So no matter how much the enemy attacks, as long as we stand on the ground of those parameters in the decree that God has given us to stand on, the enemy has no room, has no wiggle room. They can't deter unless we open a door for them and we step out of it. But when we stand on the ground that God has given us, there's no movement, nothing. They have to submit to the will of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just like when Jesus approached Legion and those legion of demons. What are you doing here? Jesus said, he's mine. Get out. They have no authority in the presence of Christ, in the Word of God. And when we stand on that, we have authority in the Word of God, in the Spirit of God, in the power of God, through Jesus Christ, to do what he's called us to do. Would you stand with me right now? Yeah, just put your hearts in the receiving position right now.